This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Hi listeners, this is Brent Sutton. Welcome to Season 4 and the 100th episode of the Practice of Learning Teams podcast show. On today's podcast, we continue the series called Hop Into Action. I'm joined by Jeffrey Liff, Bren Robinson, Josh Bryant and Diane Archan as a group of Hop and Learning Teams practitioners looking to make sense of putting Hop, Learning Teams and the 4Ds into actions for organisations to learn and improve. Think of the series as a mini learning team. We have a theme for each episode and we allow it to evolve or devolve organically. Today, we explore the 4Ds with psychosocial risks, genuine understanding from the front line, and a different version of HOP called human organizational profanity, with Josh introducing the shit sandwich. So please sit back and enjoy this series of HOP into action, sponsored by Safety Differently Merch, providers of curated merchandise befitting your Safety Differently journey.
I think, Diane, even you touched on it, because I can't say it, is that it's also, the 4Ds was also a form of cognitive behavior therapy as well.
It's that rewiring, right? It's thinking in a different way and sharing. When you share as well, like you socially connect, when we run the 4D conversations, you go really, really deep with the guys, they can socially connect with each other as well, and they can rewire some of what they're thinking. So you're challenging those patterns that you've put in your brain to say, this is the way that I think, this is the way I've linked behavior and outcomes, that type of thing. But when they can spend that time reflecting, unpacking how they feel, what might be happening, all of the conditions, it allows them to see things from a different perspective and learn from it. But just being able to share as a group and share together as a group is really restorative for people as well.
What's mana? It's giving people mana. Yep. So for our non-Kiwi people, that means it's about respect. It's about, you know, respecting me, respecting who I am, respecting my family, you know, my whānau, my tribe, you know, respecting me as a whole rather than just someone who does a job.
And rebuilding that feeling of mana and restoring that as well.
You've been quiet, Jeff.
I just love it. I love the conversation. Love catching up with you guys. It's just all fantastic. Just taking it all in. But great points. Love this notion of CBT for organizations, organizational CBT. And just seeing, just letting people be people, like the humanization or the respect for people's entire selves coming to work and exchanging risk for money.
Yeah.
And that links, once again, if we go back to it, context drives behavior. What this has done in that psychosocial risk element for you, Josh, is that context is driving that behavior. But yep, it's driving it where it needs to drive it, which is at the front line. Which I think is way overdue. Now, and once again, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm keen for a piece of fruit. You know, I'm keen for a massage or any other well-being program that you run. But I don't know how those things change work design.
Yeah.
They're transactional, but people think they're not.
They are traditional fixes, because we are trying to make the risk simple.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's, and look, it is scary. It is scary. And I think Diane. A good example, Jeff and I were able to present up at the 29th annual conference for the community of learning for HOP. So that's right, 29 years people have been getting together about HOP. I don't know if HOP's a new view. I think it's a well-established view. And in that group, we were sharing with them some of that work where we were showing them some of those what we called risk influence factors around psychosocial risk and how it's like a scale, and that scale moves from thriving at the positive end to harmful at the negative end. And it reminded me, it's actually a bit like black line, blue line, that as the blue line's moving up, we're moving to that thriving component. But as the blue line's moving down, we're moving into that harmful component. And it was really fascinating because the 4Ds could show you what influence factors were present in that job and that activity. And more importantly, it could show you where on the scale that was. And we're not saying that everything has to be in thriving. So, and I think one of the examples of the participants, they talked about that the organization had done some restructuring and a whole lot of people had lost their jobs. Well, I can tell you now, the rest of the group aren't in the thriving element around those components, okay?
Yeah, thriving is kind of off the table for a period of time when that happens, isn't it?
But that's life, right? It's like any risk, it ebbs and flows, and you need to recognize when it's starting to get really close, and you know what it is that you can do, the team can do, and the organization can do to moderate that. You know, what controls are in place, and it's not fruit.
No, and it's not an annual survey. What's the annual survey going to tell you?
Yeah. But when you're leaning into everyday work and, you know, through the 4Ds, you can see when the red line is coming up towards you. And, you know, the team can talk about the successes and, you know, what's a good day at work, what are those protective factors that they need to have. And, it leads into really relevant conversations that are actually easy to have with the team. They're not scary for people because it is about the system. It's not about, okay, you know, this person's not as resilient, that sort of stuff. It's around work, it's around the system, it's around those rubs and where they're making do.
Because those rubs will always be there.
They will.
Which is the other thing.
And the locus of control is really important, right? So, you know, the organization can't solve everything for everyone, but the organization's requirement is to understand its locus of control and how that's potentially impacting.
How does that sit, Josh? Because that's really what the code of practice is asking for, isn't it, in Australia?
Yes.
It's not asking you to fix it. It's asking you to understand it.
Understand it. Yes,
and to manage definitely. It. And to improve on it.
And I think it's great. I think that it's a really exciting time to lean into how we can make work better for people and understand, you know, the cognitive element of things. And that's just exciting, you know. I guess even now we're seeing, you know, the AI, the advent of AI, how that can actually help people, you know, love to be a computer, love to be able to read everything that I could on, you know, the new view and human error and everything, but I'm not. So, you know, how can that actually, how can we use these particular tools to help out some of the cognitive workload and create new jobs? Because that's what's going to happen in the future, right? But we can't forget how that actually comes together in this weird, complex, dynamical way with frontline industrial work and, you know, just office-based, not just office-based, but office-based cognitive level work as well.
Hey, Jeff, it's we're coming up to 2 years soon since we introduced the 4Ds to the community. And all the conversation we've just been having was not the conversation we had 2 years ago about what we thought it could do.
Yeah, do you have an anniversary date for that? Can we call that a statutory holiday when that comes around?
Absolutely. I think it was sometime in September. I've got the date there somewhere when we published. But but if I think back to it, for me, the original component for me was with learning teams, people kept asking, can you give me a question bank that I can ask when running a learning team? And I understand why people are asking that, because that's what they've been conditioned to do. But I was thinking about it, thinking at the time, I was thinking, well, the problem is you only get the answer to the question that you ask. So is there ever going to be a complete list of questions you can ask? No. The answer is there can't be.
For the audio people at home, we're on a Zoom call and we're all looking at Brent with one raised eyeball when he asked that question. we're all giving him funny looks.
So, you know, if I think about it, as we have seen it roll out across organizations, we have seen it proliferate into other areas where we didn't see its original intent, yet it just evolved. It was not forced. It just happened that way. And I think it happened because of how workers received it. And the only people that were surprised was the organization.
Yeah, it's been an interesting, I think it was 2018 for me, right? Sitting with this and how it's changed and how it was really accelerated through the pandemic there. And now what's with, you know, this community and what's gone on to happen is pretty, pretty remarkable. And you're right, it started out as just it was going to be a very simple industrial tool to go and have conversations with working folks and try to get to the heart of what really matters and give us an action point to apply all these great ideas we had. But we kind of needed that spark of operational insight to apply it. And so from very basic beginnings now and that, I think it's great that it's spreading like it is and that people are resonating with it. But it's so, as we started this conversation, Brent, so important that that non-weaponization of it and staying true to the you know, the body of work that we try to honor with these simple questions.
Well, I think it will come on to us and other people that are using it to help people that are coming on the journey not to weaponize it, because it would be easy to, right? It would be easy to. I think, you know, Josh just put in a question there about different industries. What I'm happily pleased about is that we've seen it with sales teams, you know, so, you know, customer facing sales teams, and Diane talked about dealing with customers, but these are frontline sales teams that are getting, you know, battered sometimes, or, you know, can't process as many orders or whatever they might do, and using it with them to understand their context. You know, because they are very system generated, system governed. We've seen it work with design teams. You know, these guys are on a particular, well, I will say they're on a particular, they're an interesting group of people that design some amazing stuff. And they work in, you know, quite often very individually. But when you bring them together as a group and ask them, you know, about what we're doing and the way we're doing it, what's, you know, and using the 4Ds to frame that discussion, some of the stuff that's come out of it, you know, you go, wow, we didn't know this. How did we not know that you guys were, you know, in one example, they're losing a shift a week because of pure IT system issues. But it just became normalized, you know? It was so frustrating from it, just driving them nuts. And it was so simple to fix. And that's what I love about it, that, you know, to Josh's point, across different industries. And, you know, I'd love, there's a couple of people in agriculture here that are doing amazing work out with people that work by themselves. I'd love to see what's coming out of there. And there's, you know, the psychosocial risks in agriculture. Oh my God, you know.
One comment I got from a supervisor last week was, Josh, thank you so much for removing the shit sandwich. And I said, what do you mean by that? And it is the normal, like the normal in the field discussion is give something positive, comment on the behavior or the activity or whatever, and then you walk away with an agreement. And so they were so used to having these conversations of, oh, I'd like to thank you for your housekeeping. It looks really good. Oh, talk me through the task. Oh, I think you should have worn this differently, and I think you should have done that differently. And, you know, that cord out there is a trip hazard. How about you and I agree that the action that you'll take is to, like, to put away and that you'll wear your glasses properly? Oh, yeah, walk away. Like they just said, the 4Ds is remove the shit sandwich component because it's a genuine, hey, tell me about what's difficult here. It's actually a conversation. It's not this one-way discussion that a leader comes in with the answers. It's a genuine, hey, let's share information here. Like, tell me about what's difficult. Tell me what's really different from where you've done this before at this site compared to another site. Have you seen your teammates do it a different way? Can you talk me through that? Like, it's a genuine making connection with someone through those four questions or those 4Ds, those four components, rather than the standard shit sandwich conversation.
But isn't that interesting that it actually takes the pressure off the supervisor or manager as well? They don't have to fix it. They're just learning something. And that's, you know, that moment you get when you go, wow, I didn't know that. And we've learned something today. You might not necessarily be able to fix it. And Brent's really good about talking about this, that not everything can be fixed, right? It takes the pressure off sometimes. And it's not a forced, it's a really open conversation. Yeah, I totally agree, Josh. It's, you know, I like the shit sandwich.
There is something very addictive about that performance improvement, though, and that the tangibility of bringing that performance improvement back to the field. And Josh, you've got a lot of examples of that. I just want to say, as a mild-mannered Canadian, the term shit sandwich really offends me. I know exactly what you're talking about, Josh, but we would never use in any way controversial language.
Well, no, this is good. This is a good segue, right? Because we have been questioned a lot about the use of the term dumb, right? So you're offended by me saying, oh yeah, a shit sandwich, which is bread, you know, juicy crapness, and then a little bit of bread to like finish the conversation, right? That's the reality of how frontline people talk in their environment. So if you go up to them and say, hey, tell me about all the dumb stuff, they know that that term means that doesn't make sense. They know that that's the term. That's the way it's being used. So, you know,
you know that I couldn't agree more. I'm actually working on it. I just want to give you credit there for hashtag juicy crapness.
I just want to share with you that I've just had a text from Subway. They're no longer to sponsor this episode.
I apologize for being a realist operational.
Brother, what's on the drawing board right now is a presentation called Human and Organizational Profanity. And you could call it hop, but it might get confusing, you know. But I think it's great. I think the more we can, you know, use that regular language. I mean, look at any television or any media now, and if it's aimed at grown-ups, people are quite free flowing with their use of words. And I think most of us that have held tools in our hands and been close to the work understand the intent and don't get tripped up on those sensitivities.
I think I said earlier offline, I was dumbfounded that people find the word dumb diversive when we're talking about systems and context.
Yeah, I do take that view, and we need to be careful here too, that we need to take the position of where people are
yeah.
to then move them forward and not think that we've got the answers and the be all. So, you know, I've done a bit of a backwards flip on that. I've gone, yeah, I actually understand your position. And that's where we can use that term about doesn't make sense. You know, if dumb's offensive, use doesn't make sense. Because yeah, they're intertwined, they're interlinked. Yeah.
It's just a D. I mean, at the end of the day, and it's no different. If I think about, you know, Rob Fisher is a good example. He has changed the sequence of the four Ds. Okay. Perfect. Because that is what makes sense to him and the leaders that he's engaging in. Because the four Ds is not about filling a box. The four Ds is about creating conversations. And as Rob would say, the four Ds allows different people's perspectives, personalities, risk tolerance, risk appetite, all those things that make us up as individuals to actually have a voice around seeing risk how it should be seen.
Yeah.
Which is, as Josh would say, the shit sandwich that they're dealing with every day.
I'm sorry. I apologize. All right.
But I think, you know, when you're thinking about that language element, you have to be empathetic and kind of go, who am I using it with? And does this resonate with them? So many times you hear, you know, practitioners, management use big words and they're meaningless to the front line. And so if the front line gets this and they do get it, then use it. But if you're in an environment where, you know, they're a little bit more sensitive, then sense making, sure, use that. You know, the D's means sense making. You know, you just don't even have to write it up. Just D, sense making, risky. You know,
we've used dodgy. Unusual. You know, dodgy works in the context of New Zealand and Australia. You know, I get like I understand that some people see it or feel it that way. My guess is that it comes from the more behavioral side of their experience with the behavioral side of safety. But really, it is about the system, isn't it? It's about the work design. It's never about the people at that point. But I, absolutely. You know, I
it's
think
about the craziness, the I craziness mean, the word, of the design.
The word is offensive when it's being used as a verb and when it's being used about a person's capability or capacity. Absolutely, it is offensive. But that is not the context. Once again, let's go back to it. Context drives behavior. It's not the context of how that word is being used. It is, once again, go back to HOP. It's about the system element. It's about building better defenses. And it's about trying to create that successful work environment or understand why work goes well. And I think, once again, I think I've been pretty vocal, guys, in the past that the four Ds is not an appreciative inquiry. It's not looking at why things go well or why things don't go well. It's really focusing on that rub. If we think about the black line, blue line, you know, that movement of the blue line going up and the blue line going down, that adaption rather than drift, but that adaption, there are rubs that have to happen because the black line is linear. And that's why I love that concept. And once again, big thanks to people like Scott, who talked about swim lanes. You know, we should embrace adaption. But what we want to do is we want to nudge people so they're not moving outside those things, because that's where that potential for that harm can exist. So as it has, it's moving up and that person's sort of moving towards it, you know, we want that nudging component to happen. And as you've discovered, Josh, in your work around critical risk, that those things that we thought were great aren't always that great.
Yeah, and definitely some of the controls, like, you know, you can think that you've got the best control in the world, but even applying a 4D's lens on it, like, some of those controls are difficult to use. Some of them are difficult to maintain. Some of them are, you know, different between a site that you thought was being used across your entire business, and there've been adaptions because of the environment they're in, or, you know, if you're, like, example in Brent's case where he works across a number of client sites, different clients got different expectations, therefore there's local adaption. So, you know, you're unaware of these changes of control. So, you know, that's the 4Ds for us has unlocked also looking at that critical risk element, like, you know, why is this control different on this site? Why is it, you know, why does it make sense to have all these risk assessments filled out before I can do work when they're all exactly the same thing?
So that's that conflict with standardization, that we want performance standards, we want uniformity. All those things are great, but the reality is they're not always being applied the same way across all those sites.
Yeah, but use the 4Ds to find out why.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, once again, what I've observed, Josh, is that for a large amount of workers, they never understood its purpose.
Yep.
You know, and so when people say to me, it is there to save your life. Okay. You know, that once again, that's a blame and punish type question. The fact is, you know, they couldn't do the job with it being there. You know, they can't be effective or efficient because it gets in the way of doing it. They're not doing it because they believe that they're going to get hurt. As much as that is attractive for organizations in that blame and punish mode, I just don't see it. So guys, let's wrap up. Let's go around the table and just do a bit of reflection so that we all leave here, you know, reflected, fresh, you know. So shall we start with the furthest away? Let's connect into Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm the furthest away. I have to leave a little bit sooner than the rest of you because I've got longer to travel. Well, I'm just kidding. It's great, guys. I love y'all. I can't wait to collaborate on the next book, Human and Organizational Profanity, with the same team. It's going to be great.
Josh will lead it.
I resemble that.
I resemble that remark. No, fantastic. It's just so exciting. It's exciting that this is launched. A few times this afternoon, we've talked about what are we going to learn next? What are we about to learn and observe? And what will we see? How will we see this trajectory? What will be the curve, the arc of this trajectory of this thing? Very excited to see how it goes on and how the work is received, and honored to work with y'all, and good times.
Thank you. Cutting across to Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. Crikey.
Reflecting, what I've liked is that we've been able to micro experiment and check if this shit actually works. It has. And then checking that out from a field level up into an upper leadership level. So how has it resonated with those board level people? Has it resonated with an executive type leader? What about an operational manager? So it's been really good to experiment and actually put practical stories into the book. Someone said it's a really good mix of academia and practical and stories. And that's why they've really enjoyed the book. Look, Rob Fisher said, I don't know how you guys collaborated, seeing that where you are and your different type of environments and who you are and where you are. So, you know, I'm quite proud that we've been able to, you know, create this, and I'm humbled that I was asked to be part of it as well. So thanks.
Well, once again, Josh, we had to embrace diversity. So having a geologist in the mix, we felt was quite good, because, as you know, they're not true academics.
And the fact that you're just another middle-aged, short-haired, white guy is just totally random.
Oh, that's hilarious. Diane with the call of the day. Now, in serious reflection, Brent, like the biggest thing I've taken away is actually a comment from Diane today, where you've got the black line, the work is done, and then you've got the blue line, so where they're, you know, adapting, and the 4Ds is actually revealing all these weeks signals that are near to the red line. So I've never sort of the 4Ds feeling that space and like letting you know all the weak signals that are either bringing them closer or further away from that red line. And now the 4Ds actually opened up where those are. Like that really sparked an interest for me. That was really cool.
Excellent. And cutting across to Melbourne.
My reflection is that it's one of those things you come across that just has made it easier to get to the front line. And then the stuff we get back has been amazing. It's blown me away, you know how excited I get about it. And I just love that you're having a really cool conversation with people that are out there doing the work. And they're both brave enough and cool enough to say, hey, this is what's happening, and telling you and trusting you. And that's the bit that has sort of really blown me away, that, you know, when you turn up on site with your shiny boots, which I never do, even when I get new boots, I go out in the garden, make sure they're dirty before I get to site. But it's, you know, it's just a personal thing. That's one of my weaknesses. And your shiny hivers, that they're actually entrusting you with telling you what's going on. And, you know, you guys are seeing it on some of those sites in New Zealand, and the stories that you share with us have been really amazing. You just go, wow, you know, and it's across all socio-economic demographics. And that's the other thing that blows me away, that, you know, that we've got to see it across sales teams and design teams and, you know, knowledge workers and construction workers, and, you know, and Josh's teams are in some of the most remotest places in Australia, if not on the planet, probably. And we're getting insights, and they're free flowing. You know, that's my reflection. I'm really excited, like Jeff is, to see where this goes, because I think people will. There'll be levels of people that will not like its simplicity sometimes and its clarity. And that will scare some people. But, you know, I think our job is to help them through that and just keep those. I think the stories are the thing that I like, the stories. And that's the bit that when you can share those with people, and that's the aha moment for people. You know, when Josh shares those stories, I'm like, really? What? Wow. That's cool. You know. He was filling it there, you know, all those things are just a really cool story that help impart the power of it and the simplicity simultaneously. Anyway, I'm going to get all evangelical any moment now. So
that's right. The hot robes are in the post, sponsored by Safe Differently Merchandise. And
I can't believe you got it in there.
Yeah, have to. And wrapping up to the nearest thing we have as an academic, Diane.
Don't know if I'd call myself an academic, Brent. I just, again, I'm so excited. So excited to be able to share and help people share their stories. I think, you know, for too long we've said, you know, worker engagement, participation, representation, this is the way we do it, that sort of thing. And I think with HOP, it really allows that to come to the fore and hear those stories and be able to identify those elements that create the rubs for the workers. But I think, Jeff, you mentioned, again, you know, the total worker health, you know, the quote that's in the book, we shouldn't be trading our health for money. And there's more to it. I think we need to add to people's lives. And I think the 4Ds allows a great place to start, the HOP principles and the power of them going forward as we really get into what it means and the creativity and innovation and allowing people that being to be able to I don't know, put the fear to the side and become vulnerable and really make a change. So I think I've gone off into this crazy space of the emotional and kind of element, but you know, that's I don't know, that's me. I bring the female side. So, you know, we talk more openly about emotions, but I think we all need to be in that space to do it. So vulnerability. So I get really excited by the opportunity to help make work better for people.
Thanks, Diane.
Hey, Brent, can I just say one more thing? And it was one of the things that Josh said to me, and this is one of my weaknesses, that I want to go and tell people that their baby's ugly. And Josh has really pulled me back from the edge, saying that you can't go and say, hey, your baby's ugly.
But you can say it's a shit sandwich.
I wouldn't say that either. But I think, yeah, it's a really good point that, you know, this isn't replacing everything that's come before it. It's helping you enhance, improve, add.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've had a client of a global gold miner say that the 4Ds is a gift. And wow. That blew my mind. That's an executive and just was like, this, that's how his email started, was this is a gift. Like, and he saw it, that it really does a lot. And he actually goes now and goes to our operational sites and actually asks those different questions. And he says, I know so much more now about what you guys actually do, rather than going and just doing a critical control verification.
Josh, a bit of translation. Is he just saying that because it's free?
No, he's going to buy the book. He's going to buy the book, Jeff.
$29.95, Jeff.
I just want to say for the record, Josh did a spit take there. He was just having a sip of water right at that moment.
And I think it's those little moments, guys, that drive us. And, you know, I was really fortunate being in Portsmouth and Norfolk a couple of weeks ago at the Community of Innovation. You know, when you hear who I think of being the people there at the birth of HOP, or the people that have been HOP in a long time, when I think about people like Todd, and I talk about people like Rob Fisher, Tony Mashara, Joe Estee, all these sort of guys, when they say to me, our work is good and the 4Ds is making a difference, then I know what we're doing, we're heading in the right direction in that space. And for me, that's what keeps us going. So, you know, hearing it from the front line is really important as well. Hearing, like Di and I the other day, one of the senior leaders shared with us the light bulb moment, shared with us that moment when the bulb clicked on and he switched from blame and punish to learning and improving. It just happened. It was like a switch. Hearing those moments are the things that keep us moving, because we know everyone has that capacity to apply those principles over time.
Welcome to Safety Differently Merchandise, the premium sponsor for the Practice of Learning Teams podcast show. Our curated lines of inspirational clothing, headwear, cups, stationery and more at Safety Differently Merchandise is befitting of your Safety Differently journey. I am Arthur Taylor, Chief Designer. I have spent decades on Savile Row and honored to bring my talents for all fine purveyors and devotees of HOP, Learning Teams, Safety Differently, Safety 2, and the New View. Please visit the store and purchase our fine goods at safetydifferentlymerch.com. And now, back to the show.